This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Well, we weren't expecting that. I was in the 29th Regiment Mess Hall. One of the bean burners came in the back door and it said, Jap attack. We thought it was the bomber squadron coming in from Mark Field going to Hickam. Surprise, surprise. They hit 0800. The troops are lined up for chow. They come back, another squadron come back at 0900. We got them out of there. They won the first round, but we won the other 14.
And I want to thank the Alabama Press Register for that audio there of the soldier who was at the USS Alabama yesterday in a ceremony to mark the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack 68 years ago today. Good afternoon, Bulldog Brian Tilton here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, 1-866-823-1077. You know, very few people left that are survivors of Pearl Harbor. And there's only one floating warship left from the attack on Pearl Harbor, and that is at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. If anybody ever wants to check it out, if they're ever in Charm City, and you know, once you're done with the aquarium, go take a walk over one more pier to see the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Taney, and that you can learn a little bit of history from that as well. So I don't know what they're teaching in the public schools today, but we'll touch on a few things here in remembrance of Pearl Harbor Day, the day that will live in infamy. And we'll take a look at some of the local efforts going on to recognize the Pearl Harbor survivors and those who sacrificed themselves on that day. And we'll take a look at a few things throughout the show with a lot of the other current events and topics that are going on today, particularly right here in New Hampshire. Again, our phone number is 1-866-823-1077 if you wish to join the conversation, because we'll have a lot of conversations today. Coming up in a few moments, we'll be talking with Tom Thompson, our good friend from Orford. He's going to talk about a nasty tax that has been getting a lot of revelations from the union leader. This is something that a lot of people may have forgotten about. It is a tax on about 10,000 of your fellow businessmen here in New Hampshire, the LLCs. We're talking about a brand new income tax that was passed without any specific rules or whatever. So the legislature left that up to the DRA, and there is very little chance for the public to speak on this. And Tom Thompson will be giving us all those details in just a few moments. In the next hour, we'll be talking with David Galbatz, the co-author of Muslim Mafia. We've spoken to him once before, have been trying to get him back on the show recently, but with all the events that are going on, particularly now with the terror trials in New York City, where we're giving an admitted terrorist a civilian trial. How nice is that? And we'll have that and a whole lot more here on Bulldog Live. Again, with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, on WTPL 107.7, 107.1 in the Upper Valley at WTSL 94.3 and AM 1400 everywhere else at WTPLFM.com. Well, some big news in New Hampshire politics today, as we do have a new candidate for governor in 2010, and she is joining us here in studio. It's our good friend Karen Testerman. How are you today?
I'm great, Brian, and thank you so much for having me in studio today.
Well, it's nice to have you, and it was just a few moments ago you did make an important announcement.
I did. I decided that it's time for me to boldly step into the arena and run for governor.
All right. Well, that is a bold step, I'll tell you, for anybody to do that.
Well, I care passionately about the issues that are going on in this state, and especially the direction that the state's going in. And I want to do something about putting us back on the road to prosperity based on principles and values.
All right. And we know that you've been very active in promoting a lot of the, you know, traditional conservative values. You were the founder and a past executive director of the Cornerstone Policy Research.
That's correct.
And then also, more recently, when we had talked to you, the New Hampshire Families organization that you were running.
Well, it wasn't really an organization as much as it was an email blast that I was doing to keep my finger on in the mix, you might say, uh-huh. just so people didn't forget who I was and what I was doing.
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues that are facing us today. And first of all, I guess we should ask what party you're running as.
I'm running as a Republican.
Okay.
That platform is the one that I identify most with. And I certainly have some variations on other party platforms that don't really fit with who I am and what I believe.
All right. Now, the Republican Party, as a lot of people have known, have been, especially those who are in the Republican Party, have been asking, gee, you know, who's running? Who's actually running? Not just this time, but in years past.
Right.
You know, we've seen, you know, Republican candidates for governor, but name recognition was a tough one.
Yes. That has been the biggest challenge to most of the past. Or at least in the recent history,
right.
those candidates. So, yes, and I don't think I have that problem.
Okay, well.
At least not in part of the state. I'm fairly well known in some circles, and so it'll be a matter of going out and expanding that circle.
What was exactly that got you involved with you know, wanting to run for governor? I mean, what was there a single issue that you just said, that's it, I've got to get involved now?
No, actually, it wasn't. It was just my belief that we have to have some principles. We have to have strong values. And when we say something, my word is my bond. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad used to always say and also demonstrated in his actions that when we stand together about an issue, we stand strong. And the people of New Hampshire really are looking for that leadership that will, when something goes on in the State House, they know that it's being done with integrity, that it's being done out front in you know, in the full light of things, and like we mm-hmm. advertise in our right to know law, that we want to know, and we believe that the people have a right to know about all of these issues, and they have a right to investigate it. We need to do that with our budget, and put our budget and all of our expenditures online so that the people can go in and look and see what's going on, and then question and hold the government officials, the elected officials, accountable.
You know, you just brought up something that was recently brought to my attention, and I think only one state does this, puts those financial numbers online. The spending by the government is online. I think that's in Texas. If a state employee uses a government-issued credit card to fill up their car with gasoline, we know about it 24 hours later.
Right, right. And that's the way it should be. So that, you know, if we can go in and we can ask for any piece of paper that about a meeting or about mm-hmm. a decision or about where this money is coming in from the federal government, if we can go in and ask for that, why can't we also see how our government is spending the money, especially when it's your tax dollar and my tax dollar, and they keep wanting to raise the amount that we're going to contribute, you know?
Oh, like the 61 new taxes and fees that occurred with the last budget cycle.
Well, with the last couple of budget cycles, yeah. Yeah.
I know,
exactly.
Because we're having an overall about 25% increase in the budget, and we're wondering, why are state employees having to lose their jobs?
Exactly. It's not a revenue problem. If you go back across the country and you look at history, the revenue continues to grow in most all areas. But what we have, if you line up the spending that's going on, we're spending in a greater amount. So I also believe that what we need to do is we need to change the way that we come up with our budget, the way that we develop our budget, to the same way that responsible families develop their budget. You know, we all know that when you try to live on a credit card, eventually that's going to come and catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our state's been doing. But what we need to do now is turn around and say, look, we got this much money in revenue this year. That's all we're going to spend. That's what our total budget is going to center around. We'll decide how we're going to divvy that up, but that's all we're going to spend. If we bring in more, then next year we can look at the budget, or at the next budget cycle, we can look at it and say, well, we brought in all of this extra money. Now we can also see if we can, if there's an appropriate place for government, and that's another little problem there. But if there's an appropriate place for government to spend that money, then we can put it there.
I got you. Now, because bonding has been an operative word of the New Hampshire budget
for
a couple of years. Exactly. Yeah, that's you were saying. Because what do? They used a credit card to pay the mortgage in a previous budget cycle when they were about $100, $200, $500 million in the hole. And they had a special session immediately after passing the budget saying, okay, well, we need to bond this shortage. And that was just like, wait a minute.
Or let's go see if we can find a piggy bank. Somebody else's piggy bank to rob, like the medical association?
Oh, yes, the doctors with the $110 million lawsuit that's still sitting before the state Supreme Court.
Right, and oddly enough, you know, it's money. Granted, we have the Attorney General's office is already being paid. However, it also costs you money to file those filings in the court in order to bring forth this lawsuit. So now we're also paying for that.
And if the doctors do prevail, you're looking at paying their legal fees as
well. Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Karen Testerman, Republican candidate for governor here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077 if you wish to join the conversation. I know that monetary issues are a big thing. They probably will be in 2010 as well. And, you know, looking at the job situation in New Hampshire.
The jobs are more important. If our people can't put food on the table and a roof over their head, then why are we in existence?
Mm-hmm.
We really need to have the jobs. And one of the biggest things we've done in this last couple of budget cycles is we have overloaded our businesses. We've made New Hampshire competing for the top place in the nation on how much we tax our businesses. And then we put in some regulations that are totally discouraging to those businesses so that they're not, you know, the businesses that we have now are going to go start finding someplace else to relocate.
Yes, because when you're looking at businesses that have a higher tax burden in New Hampshire than they do in Massachusetts, it does make somebody ask some questions, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's not the way it was when I came to New Hampshire 16 years ago. David and I came after he retired from the Air Force. We looked around at the New England states, and the one reason that we chose New Hampshire was that it was business friendly, it believed in freedoms, and it wasn't a heavy tax state. Even though the property tax was heavy, mm-hmm. overall, when you compare that to all the other taxes that are in other states, we were very reasonable and less than most other states.
All right, 1-866-823-1077. Dennis from Londonderry, you're on Bulldog Live, along with Karen Testerman, Republican candidate for governor.
Hi, Bulldog. How are you?
Doing good.
How are you today?
Hi, Dennis. Nice to talk with you.
Good. Listen, I'm an independent, so this is not a Democrat or a Republican question.
Okay.
Okay. What do you feel about expanding gaming, legalizing gambling, or whatever you want to call it, where the state already has certain things like, scratch tickets and certain benefits where they can have poker nights and things like that, where it would create jobs, and I know everybody says the flip side is, it could cause addiction, it can cause all this, law enforcement problems and things like that. But, you know, then again, here we got people, buses leaving New Hampshire to go down to Mohegan Sun and other, facilities to go. And you know, these people are 80 years old, real tough crowd that they send down there, you know.
Well, you
the bad element.
Yeah, that bad element. So I guess what I'm at, that's one of my questions.
Well, let's let Karen answer the first question there.
Okay.
Well, Dennis, let's look at what the real problem is that, you know, we're faced with the lesser of two evils. Have you heard that statement before? We're either looking with the spending that is going on in the government currently, we're either looking at an income tax and a sales tax, or we're looking at expanding gambling. That's what we're looking at. And the real problem is the spending, the runaway spending, the love affair that Concord has with spending money. Even the governor said he was going to veto the next spending bill. And what did they do? They turned around, they passed a bill for spending, and he signed it into the law. We can't do that sort of thing. And I think what we really need to do is rather than look at what might be down the road and working on the fear that is being generated, we really need to go back and roll back the amount of spending that we're doing, roll back the impact that we're having on our citizens and on our businesses that are depleting the jobs, and allow real creative jobs to come. The problem I have with gambling is that it's not just, oh, golly, there's a few headaches that go with it. There are a lot of headaches that go with it. We have a very close friend of ours whom we had a major discussion with. In fact, he sits on the zoning board down in Connecticut next to Foxwoods. And we had some very heated discussions about the pluses and minuses of putting gambling in and allowing the Indians to go ahead and do that. And he voted to allow this because he wanted to see if it would work. If you talk to that man today, he will tell you to do everything possible to keep it away, and he can give you example after example about what it costs the local community.
Yeah, but if you have 90% of the, and there's, you know, there have been surveys saying that 90% of the people in New Hampshire feel that we need it. Now you can't keep saying let's go back to the budget problem, because you know the old saying is the horse is out of the barn. It's already been a runaway thing. Not saying whoever the next administrator is or governor can't put it back into control. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we have to do something. You know, nobody's going to accept an income tax in this state. That we know. New Hampshire hasn't had any income tax. They're not going to want an income tax, and the voters will certainly not allow anybody who says they want an income tax to get into office. I mean, that's just the history of New Hampshire. So, what do we do? You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dennis, but I'm not sure that the 90% really holds, because if you go and you look at the people who populate the Granite State Coalition Against the Expansion of Gambling. It's a whole lot of people in the state of New Hampshire from all sides of the aisle, not just Republicans, not just Democrats, but other people as well, who do not want to see an expansion of gambling. In fact, look at the lottery that we already have as a tax upon the poor.
Well, and with that, Dennis, I'm going to have to let you go because we got to try and get some other calls here, and we're tight on time. But I do think I know Dennis' point, and that is, majority of the people say they'd rather have expanded gambling as opposed to an income tax or a sales
right.
tax. There is majority support from the Granite State poll, you know, that has been
right.
out there.
Right.
So, you know, if we got to have one, you know, that's what people would rather see. So.
But I say we still need to go back to the real root of the problem and cut it off at its knees there.
Well, because as I've said before on the show, now I don't have any real hard feelings either way on the expanded gambling issue myself, but the one thing I do warn is, yeah, you bring in more money, the government will continue to spend it, just like they did in Connecticut, just like they did in New Jersey. Connecticut's got the most expensive debt service in the country, and they're bringing in a ton of revenue from the expanded gambling, as well as an income tax, a sales tax, and the like. So that's the danger that I always warn people about.
Yes, yes.
So
you don't want to get that horse out of the barn yet.
Well, Karen, let's give people some information where they can get a hold of your campaign and find out more about you.
Certainly. We have a website. It's karentesterman.net. And people can go up there and, peruse it, see what they think. If they want to contact me further, there's contact information up there.
Okay.
They can also call me at 721-9933. I'd be happy to talk to them and answer any questions they might have.
This is going to be a long road, isn't it?
It is, but it'll be lots of fun. You know, there's a lot of people out in New Hampshire, and they have great ideas. And that's one of the beauties of New Hampshire is its retail politics. And so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to going out, meeting people, listening to their ideas, and coming around and governing from a different perspective than has been historically done.
Because you can do house parties, you can speak to civic organizations,
yes.
whatever. So again, KarenTesterman.net. And that phone number as well.
603-721-9933.
All right. Well, Karen, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again from the campaign trail here. So good luck. Thank you for giving us a little thumbnail sketch of what your campaign's about. And we'll be happy to chat with you about more details in the future.
Well, thanks. And thanks for having me into the office.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Karen Testerman, Republican candidate for governor here on Bulldog Live.